Oh, precious Father.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that you would use your word of truth to purge and sanctify us, that we might be holy as you are holy, Lord.
Lord,
just let that word keep cleansing us and washing us and bringing us into this new, well, not new, but your kingdom, Lord, and let it be manifested from us to the rest of the world and by others that you have chosen also, Lord. Just begin to let your anointing come mightily. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
The Bible tells us that to as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. And I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. And he had determined to go up to Jerusalem, and then he had determined to go to Rome, and he had, you know. And every time he did, a prophet would prophesy. And they would say, this is what's going to happen to you. And the one that does this, this isn't going to happen. And he's going to be locked up. And he's going to be, all of these different things. And so, anyway, finally Paul said, quit trying to break my heart. He said, what are you trying to do? He says, I'm supposed to go up, and this is what I'm going to do. And I thought about something in relationship to this. Back when I was in Seattle, and we were comfortable, and Don Burnett was starting at Bible College, and I was, he had me lined up to be teaching something, I don't remember what it was. And he was adamant about it. He wanted me to teach this course in it, and this was his agenda, okay? So then, lo and behold, I have this dream. And in this dream, I saw my mother, and everybody loves their mother. And I saw her in this dream. She was leaning against this old rotten tree, and I could see it was on the edge of a cliff. That's all I could see. And when I got up close to see it, and I looked over the edge, and there were no bottom to it. And I could smell smoke, and there was a fire. Against the tree, the wind was blowing, and she was about ready to go into hell. And so what do you do? Well, I prayed. I said, Lord, send somebody to witness her. Send somebody to witness her. And a few weeks went by, and then I had that dream that caused us to come back. And then I knew that that I was the one that he wanted back here. So anyway, it became really obvious. God was sending us to come back to Wisconsin. And here's the rest of the story, which I remembered, but I didn't readily remember. I just remembered. This did not fit Don Burnett's agenda. He knew what I needed to be doing. And so what happened is that him and he got a few of the elders, of course I would want to, but he got them together and they tried to talk me out of coming back here. And you know what? It couldn't be done. I said, I know what God wants. I have to do it. Well, we think that he wants this. I said, I think he wants this. It was one of those things. And so we packed up and came home. And so later on, okay, here's some more of the story. Later on, in one of the services on the channel, he was telling how he sent us back here.
So, that's the way of it.
Sorry, we're popping such a commotion.
Okay. But he was sharing how he sent us back here. Sure he did. We had to battle our way to, But we all have our agendas. Agendas? Agendas, yeah. But God wants us to do it His way. Mm. And that's what we got to remember. And coming back was God's way. Mm-hmm. And the story is not over. It's, you know, it's there's a lot more to this picture that you're putting into it, and I will, you know. And so, anyway.
You know, in the years, I guess I look behind me, I can realize that, you know, God has led me to do different things, or, you know, like, for example, like coming here to America, whatever, but, and several other things, but I never felt like led, I never felt direction, actually, like, this is what you must do, you know, I do this, I never felt that. I just always felt brought some place without me knowing, realizing that it was God. You know, I never had to, like, obey an instruction. You know, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm saying that, but yes.
Mm. Well, it's kind of the same thing in a way, though.
Yeah, see, but no, but I didn't know it was God.
Right.
I didn't know it was God.
But you can look back and...
I can look back and realize it was God. Mm-hmm. I look back and I realize that God put me and made me do all these things, but then, and I never knew then that it was God that was the one that wanted me to do it. You know what I mean? Which is fun, apparently.
He doesn't let himself be predictable.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we wanna, and we want him to be predictable, though.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
I would like to have him write it up for
us. Yeah. Yeah. Be nice.
You know, Ken was praying, and he was saying, well, this new, you know, new way, and he kind of corrected himself, well, no, it's not new. And it occurred to me, it's new to us, you know. Remember that Rodney and Joanne had a used clothing store or something called New to You?
Yeah.
Well, this is new to us. I don't know, was it Tuesday night? There was just a time that was so great. We were so near to Him or something. The spirit of revelation was on it strong. And, it was so great. And Ken made the comment then that he just had the sense that the Lord, somebody, Jesus, the Father, somebody, was pleased with it. Just so pleased. I didn't have that, but I did feel, oh, this is good. This is just so good. It was so clean and true. So clean and true. This is the way. This is it. It was kind of momentary, you know, then you move, well, the natural world kind of intrudes again, you know. But, you know, there's that scripture in Romans 8, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And, absolutely. You know, you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh have really no appeal. There's no appeal there. You know, it's just, there's no appeal. It'd be like you were offered this really wonderful French dessert, and then you were offered graham crackers. You know, you're not going to pick the graham crackers. You know, you're just not going to pick the graham crackers. You're going to go for the, you know. And you talk about sinlessness. You walk in the Spirit and, where's the temptation? It just isn't there, you know. And I anticipate that we are going to be in a place that is in some ways equivalent to that, you know. We're going to be in a place where it is just so good, so clean. You know? And I was thinking about it all. I want to spend some time reading Psalm 119. Do? That's the psalm that talks about the wonderful ways that God's Word is. Much different little sections on that. I want to spend time with Psalms 119.
You know, I don't know that I know or that I understand really what the work of the Spirit means. I don't even know, because I know I have to, but I don't know that I really understand. How is it that if I walk in the Spirit, how is it that I walk in the Spirit? Or what does it look like? You know what I mean? I understand the English words of the Scripture, but I'm not sure how to even approach it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a work of grace. You don't try real hard. Okay, I walk in the Spirit now. No, it doesn't work that way. It's a work of grace.
Right. So you basically just let God to
work. Well, make yourself available to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I understand
a little bit more.
one of the mysteries, one of the things that is happening to us, and if we can allow God to keep leading us, keep taking us, there have been all kinds of moves over the years that they've called back to the Bible, you know, back to the Bible. Because people know, if they read the Bible, they know that the Bible says, it is true. It is the truth. Walk ye in it. It says that. Yeah, this is the truth. Walk in it. And but the problem is that it doesn't happen. And we need to be praying that God will not allow us to go the way that most people have gone. They haven't gone back to the Bible. They've gone to back to ancestor beliefs. They've gone back to things that they were kind of in the back of their mind they were comfortable with. And so there's, we know from the Scriptures that there isn't such a thing as a Trinity. That's not Scripture. But there's very few people that have ever gone back to the Bible that did not end up Trinitarian. Martin Luther, he defied the Catholic Church, and he nailed his 95 thesis thing on the church door in Wittenberg, and he did all of these things, and he was going to go back to the Bible. In his mind, you know, that the Bible was the right way, and it should be in the hands of the common men, but he didn't go along with baptism by immersion. He didn't go along with he thought that infants should be baptized, and you know what I mean? So he didn't go back to the Bible. He only went back as far as he could go. And this is the problem, and that's what we don't want to do. We want to go back to where God wants us to go back. And right now I think that there's some good things that are happening to us. Like, a lot of good things happening to me. And Dale called when I talked to him last night on the phone. And he's doing really good. And he asked me about a scripture. And he wasn't sure what it was. Well, I happen to know where it was. It's in 2 Thessalonians 2:10. It says, because you have not received a love for the truth, that you might be saved. From that scripture, which looks like it's just kind of stuck in there, you know, kind of at random somewhere, it's not. It is a major, major revelationary scripture. And in order to be saved, people have to have a love for the truth. And when we talked, he says, I can see that. I see that. I said, you know what, Dale? It saturated all through the scriptures. But all of a sudden, it'll jump out at us, and the next thing you know, you got all kinds of scriptures that support it. And God wants us to have a love for the truth. But you can't have a love for the truth and go back to doctrines that you're comfortable with. You have to be, if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you've got to be led by the Spirit. And the only place you can be led by is through the Scriptures. And so we're looking for momentum, and we just need that. We need to not say, you know what, well, I believe this. You know what, I'm not sure what I believe in a lot of things. I don't want to say, well, let's do it because I believe this. Don't go by what I believe. Go by what the Scripture teaches, what the Scriptures say. So the reason we listen nonstop is because that is what will change you into a spirit walker.
You know, in the future, we're going to look back at today, and we're going to say, amen. Good thing that God delivered us from whatever it is that we were doing. We don't know now. You know what I mean? But I like, instead of saying, you know, go back to what God wants you to do, Jesus says, if you put a hand, you put your hand on the plow and look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. So what I want to say is, like, we don't want to go back to the Bible. We don't want to go back to whatever God was doing. We want to go forward to the Bible. We want to go forward to what God wants to do. We don't want to look back at anything, no matter how good it was, no matter nothing. I don't think looking back is
the goal.
Is it right?
No. The goal is new manna.
I'm not saying it's terrible. Yes, then we can refer about it and talk about it, whatever. But we shouldn't desire to have what we have.
No, that's right.
Because if we knew who God was, we know that whatever God is greater than whatever He's ever done. You know what I mean? So we are living, when we look back at how good things were, we are putting a cap on this is where we want God. You know what I mean? Now let's look forward.
That's so true.
You know, to God, not back.
True.
And I never really understood that the scripture that I quoted about, you know, he who put his hand on the plow looks back. It's not worthy of the kingdom. I didn't even know if it applied to whatever I'm talking about, but I suppose I can use it. Because Jesus kind of just threw it out there. He didn't really, I don't know, he kind of threw it out there in the middle of something.
It applies if it applies.
Right.
We think, you know, for some of the great things that have happened in the church and back in the 80s or whatever.
Well, maybe
that's looking back. Might be looking back.
Yeah. I see a lot of things happen over the years. But you know what? I'm not looking for those things. I'm really not. I'm looking for whatever God is going to do, you know, ahead of us. And we start, and I understand what Pablo's saying, and that's the truth. I don't want yesterday's church. And we're not going to have it. You know why? Because we're consuming God's Word. God's Word is it won't return void. It's always up to date. How can the Word of God be up to date always? But it is. It's up to date for today. It's up to date for tomorrow. It's up to date for whatever, you know what I mean? Because that's the way it is. And so we listen to it, and we slowly become the nature of what that Word is. See, it says, Peter says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, the Word of God, we become partakers of God's divine nature. That's what we want.
You know, a way of seeing why God's word is up to date to today. First of one thing is we have a book that has, you know, let's say a million words. So how can it change? But it does. You know, it's the Holy Spirit really the one doing the speaking. It's not just the letters in those pages. The other thing is Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that you is tiny, 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 and you plant it, and then the tree grows. And it doesn't stop growing. And it grows, and it grows, and then the birth of the year live it. You know what I mean? So that's why it's up to date, because it keeps growing with time. As we get older, as the earth gets older, the tree or the whatever, or the mustard seed keeps growing and growing and growing. That's how it's up to date. Because it never stops. It does not stop growing. The book always has the same amount of pages, but the it never stops growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
That's what other people are like, well, we read the Bible, so why read it again? And again. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to pass. So it came to mind. Yesterday's bread is stale. Today, we need to prepare the dough for fresh bread.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's good. Yep. I know I've been with, you know, people who used to attend here and don't anymore. And I suppose we're capable of this to a degree, but, oh, talking about how wonderful the move was, you know, like that was heaven or something, you know. And it made me squirmy, you know, it didn't seem right. It was making an idol.
Yes.
Making an idol.
That's good.
And now, not that we're totally free of that, but we do. You've got to move on. Got to move on.
We're not any different than anybody else.
No.
And the tendency is to be looking for signs and wonders and excitement and, you know, goosebumps, looking for something that's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And God has not necessarily given us something like that. The Bible says the kingdom of God comes without observation. So things happen without us even being aware of what's happening. And that is the nature of God's Word. And so that's one of the reasons that we consume it. You keep taking it in, hour after, you know, day after day. That's why Psalm 1 says, blessed is the person who delights in God's Word and meditates on it day and night. God blesses that person. And what happens to them when they do that? They are slowly being transformed into a new man, a new person. And the only thing that can do it is God's Word. That's when Psalm 19:7 says, the Word of God is perfect, converting the soul. There's nothing else like that. And the nature of the God's Word is the more you hear it, the more you want to hear it. The more you love it, the more you love it.
Mm.
And you keep loving it, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I've heard people say, you know, well, I'm praying that someday that the Word of God will be the only thing that I know, the only thing that I want. I think that that's a possibility. I think we can get to that place where that's all we want.
You know, in the natural, like a baby or whatever, even as an adult, I think that God's Word, not for everyone, but it's like an acquired taste. Like, for example, when I made candy, she didn't like tomatoes. She couldn't make tomatoes. But then I just give her a tomato and she would have a little bit of tomato. I don't know if she loves tomatoes, no, but now she loves tomatoes, right? So that was God's Word. That was like kind of with me at the beginning, too. Are you guys know what I mean by an acquired taste?
Yeah.
It's like, at the beginning, man, it's so full of stuff that, man, you don't want to do, you don't want to hear, you don't want to know nothing about it. But then all of a sudden, you have an acquired taste. But it's a process. Now, I'm not saying that it will always be like that for everyone. All of it, tomorrow, God will do whatever he does, and songs or whatever, will love it immediately. But in my personal experience, it wasn't a quiet pace. You know what I mean? And right away, you almost knew that it was good for you. You know, like vegetables, you don't, you like it. You have, then you like it. You know, that's where I'm at right now. You know, but again, other people they don't have to go through what we went or I went.
I don't know if we call it an advantage, is you. I'm watching what the Word of God is doing in your lives. And even though the Bible says it comes without observation, it does come with observation. We do become aware of the obvious, wonderful changes that God's Word does in people's lives. I have never seen anything like it. You know, I have been, quote, saved for over 50 years, and I've seen a lot of things, but, and I told people, I have never seen a people like this. And this people, we haven't gone into place yet. We're like babies, you know, playing in the sandbox. But at the same time, I've never seen babies playing in that kind of sand.
I'm gonna really probably put myself on the spot here, but kind of related to that because we're babies and so forth. But when you I got to go back to Tuesday, and you shared that you had a dream, right, about Dale. And I kind of want to qualify and make sure I didn't. So in that dream, what were you, were feeling there was healing through the night? Is that how you put it?
You know what? I can't say what I was feeling because it seemed to me from the time I closed my eyes and went to sleep until I woke up that there was that God was doing something in Dale, and I don't know what he was doing.
Okay, so
I saw it as healing. I don't know what he was doing.
So I didn't, I wasn't, you know, I kind of went, you know. But then, after we had our meeting Tuesday, and then when we came to pray for Dale, and you mentioned, well, in the meeting too, later in the night, you mentioned that, you know, there's lots of places in Scripture where it says, if we ask, you know, he'll give it to us. And so then when we came to pray, and then Dale shares that Ben had this same thing, it was like, I didn't feel like we were going to say, Dale, don't leave until you're healed. But I did feel like God had set something, or was trying to set something up, and I feel troubled a little bit in my spirit that we missed the ball a little bit. Because all of a sudden, what you said, and hearing about Ben and the way the meeting went, I went, we need to just pray for healing and leave it. And then, which could happen anywhere from when he was sitting with us to when he got to Rochester. But in our prayer, we started praying for the hands of the physician and so forth, and I felt like we just... Now, it turned out great, okay? I'm not saying...
I'm amen.
Dale's doing great. He's feeling fine, but where do we start building faith?
Amen.
Yes.
You know? It didn't mean, you know, that we had to make a big stand and say, you can't leave because we know you're going to be... It wasn't that. It was just pray for healing and leave it.
Yeah.
You know? And it just seemed like, yeah, we started, you know, putting man in there, a little and whatever.
But doesn't
Lord,
God do what God's going to do, yeah, whether we pray it or not?
The Lord works with whatever the thing is, you know what I'm saying? And so Barb came and gave a prophecy over Dale. And a phenomenal thing. We're just at the right time. And we were all there, and Dale was affected by what's going on. See, I have been talking to him, but Dale was affected by what he was hearing from you guys. And so he was panicking going down there. Because of all of the things that he had been told for so long. And so what happened on Wednesday night when we prayed was that a peace came over there. You know what I'm saying? he got a peace. And so his fear began to leave, and began to be comfortable, and what he had not been.
Ken is 100% right. Even if I'm the only one that backed up. Yep.
I just say that you read what's written on
yeah.
my mind.
No.
What's written in my heart. And that's all that. Don't feel like there's something that was. It's difficult.
God
to say,
can do anything He's going to do, but He expects us to have faith in Him because He doesn't need any middle. He doesn't need any middlemen. It's where we put our faith and our trust that God's going to do because He knows. But the thing about Dale is his healing goes beyond his need. Dale has years of things. Rejection, and he killed his brother. You know what I mean? Dale's got years, but this thing leading up is—it's more than just that knee. And Dale wasn't sure if he was going to make it through this surgery. It was a gamble. He didn't let everybody know how much of a gamble it could have been. They were going to give him enough pain medicine that could be lethal, but the right word is, because they said what we're going to do to your knee is. Something never did before, and you know how much of pain medicine you're going to need. And he was worried because he had an issue with that before. So it was a lot of things. So I believe that when a man got involved, the healing is a, you know what I mean? Just getting Dale to that point, there was a lot of forgiveness and submission that Dale needed in his heart. So more than just his knee, God needs to work in his heart. But, you know, like Jesus, when the people came to the crowd and the woman bled for all those years and people had all these things, Jesus healed them. He didn't.
But the lesson, I think, is don't we become condemned. It just, I think it shows that, to me, it shows that, well, we need faith. I mean, we got to have our faith increased. You know what? It could have been, and you know, you pray that, pray for the healing, leave it. Well, if he ended up going down there and he wasn't healed, then he goes through with the surgery, you know. But, which happened, you know. But I feel like maybe we kind of just missed a thing with God that could have maybe been different. You know,
but at least we're understanding.
Yeah,
at least we know what to aim at. And now, will God take care of Dale? Yes, because God, you know, in Acts 17, says not related to healing, but to related to understanding. Paul spoke for God, saying, and at these things, God is doing that. Like, you know, because God has to, like, ignore a bunch of stuff that we do in order to have mercy.
When I was praying this morning, I felt like, Lord, I'm an imperfect vessel. Please bypass my imperfection and bring your perfection. That's, you know, I think that's where we're at. We're imperfect.
Right.
But God is perfect. So just pray that He bypasses that imperfection in us.
So don't anybody be offended or anything like that, but let's, I think it was something that was a teaching thing, you know, a lesson to be learned maybe or something. Because it was like the minute, and I have no idea who, what, or where, but the minute I heard something about guiding the physician's hands, I just felt, oh, you know? That might have just been me, so that's all I'm, you know. I might be putting myself on the spot, but I just...
I'm the one that said that.
Well, I don't know
where something. I did it so that God was involved in the surgery at that time. That's why I said that, to clarify why I said that. I wanted God's hands to be with the surgeon's hands, you know.
Which...
And that's why I said that.
Yeah, which I kind of felt like, well, if he ends up down there and he's not healed, we could be praying that.
Right.
You know, but it was so, and I think it was more than one of us probably mentioned the same thing. So
yeah, I mentioned it, you know, when I was praying.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, it's a point worthy of discussion.
Yeah.
It's worthy of discussion. I thought I was touching base with the Lord's heart at the time. Of course, I have no basis for saying, I know.
Yeah.
But I believe that it was touching the Lord's heart. I do think there is such a thing, and I don't know that it was true in this instance, but there is a charismatic stunt that almost puts God to the test sometimes on healing stuff. You know, I don't know if it's true. I really hesitate to say that it was true in this instance.
Right.
But there is, it's putting, you know, go climb up on top of the temple and jump down and see, you know.
I guess I was going on what the whole basis building up to it was.
Mm-hmm.
And if God was showing in a dream and to two different people, and then bringing up scripture that says if you ask, and it just, I thought, well, maybe he's going to give us an opportunity to do that, you know.
To believe it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just, and I'm not exactly right or anything. I'm just, that's what I felt in my spirit, though. That,
well, we need to be able to be open about these things.
Yeah.
You know, so good for you for speaking up, you know. And I'm going to say what I have to say, too, you know. And,
sure.
You know.
Well,
it's an opportunity to believe.
Sure.
Yeah. Dale is convinced that the whole thing was a miracle. Dale is convinced it was a miracle experience, and that he was a totally different person than I have talked to in the last 10 years. I wasn't talking to a Dale that I've known for the last 10 years. I'm talking to somebody that is excited. He is going to be in good shape, and he's not suffering pain, and it's just a different thing. So I don't know what exactly else could have happened, but it happened to the glory of God, and Dale is excited about it.
Well, of course, he's better. He's healed. I mean, he's fixed, so
but
obviously he's going
to... But he was praising God and thanking God.
Yeah.
See, that's...
I'm not taking away from
that. Far, that might be as far as he could look at the thing right now. I have probably seen more outright miracles than anybody else here. I have seen a lot of them. And yet, Jerome McGinnis, who had cancer, who had heart attacks, he had all of these things, he spent a lot of time in the hospitals. And the doctors finally said, Jerome, the only way you're going to die is if somebody kills you. Because he died twice in Russia. They hauled him to the hospital and there was no pulse, there was no nothing. They got him into the hospital room and he sat up. And it's funny that some of the people didn't die when they saw it. And so my experience with that thing is, it's like I want to see the miracles, and I want to see these things. But sometimes there's a faith disadvantage, you know? And I can't say that Dale had the faith, and I mean, you'll be hearing it from him, but I can't say that he had the faith to expect a miracle. I think he was just lucky to be thankful to be alive.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with Dale.
Yeah.
As far as where he was at, I'm just kind of looking at where we're at.
But you know, we had an awesome time last night. Just awesome.
You know, the disciples told Jesus, you know, I'm adding, but it's like women, they have some people and everybody's healed. But look at this, we're praying for this situation and it's not happening. Jesus is like, it's because you're unbelieving. So then Jesus stepped out himself and did it. And yes, you know, we need to act in how we're, do we believe? God's word, then we need to act on it and wait for the healing. The truth is that we don't. We don't. D-O-N-T.
Expect it, not.
And I'm not pointing fingers this way. I'm pointing fingers this way. Okay? I'm pointing fingers on me. The reason why I do things the way I do and I pray the way I pray is because I do not have enough faith to believe that what God said is what God is going to do. I do believe that God will bring me there or can bring me there. Will he? I don't know. Can he? Yes. But yes, we need to. Jesus says, you can't have two masters, because you will either love one and despise the other. So you can't go to God, and if God can't do it, then we'll rely on man. You either rely on God or you rely on man. You know what I mean? You can't have two masters, right? Do you have a need? You go to God. You know what I mean? But I don't want my son or my daughters, my kids, said, Dad, I need help. But then in the back of their minds, you know, well, I got to do backup guys. You know, I want them to rely 100% on me. And that's what God expects from us. Now, the reason why we're doing this, the way we're doing it, is because we don't have enough faith. You know what I mean? And we need to believe that we don't have enough faith. We want to say that we do, we want to act like we do, and we want people to think that we do. But the truth is that we don't. We don't. However, we are eating faith food. We are doing what God wants us to do, which is eating God's word. You know what I mean? But the devil, he has a full-time job, and his work is to keep us from understanding and eating that word. And Jesus says the lamp of your body is the eye. So whatever goes in front of you goes inside of you, it stays like that. So if we have 99% of God's word and 1% of not God's word, then it's diluted. It's not good. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm pointing all the fingers at me. All right, I'm just telling you about me. And so I can listen to God's word and pray, but then all of a sudden, if I veer a little bit to the right, all of a sudden the devil, man, he has a field day. You know what I mean? Because again, the devil does not take a break. He's good at it. He's done it forever. It's just, you know what I mean? So the devil is at work, especially when he knows that we are a bigger target. You know what I mean? Anyways, yes, we need to pray and believe. You know, while we're gonna pray, amen.
Well, I don't want to get into the business of judging a miracle or what's not a miracle, but let's talk about this a little bit. Jesus healed someone, blind man, but he didn't say, "Have your sight," made clay, rubbed it in his eyes. Then he was healed. Would you say it wasn't a miracle because he had to use clay? In this case, the miracle might have been answered because of the prayer, and instead of it being a 4-hour surgery that was life and death, it was a very short surgery with no pain. I think I'm not solid enough to say a prayer for healing and someone shows up at the doctor's office and they go, "There's nothing wrong." That was a healing and that was a miracle, versus a prayer for healing and the procedure goes really well and the result is the same. Wasn't a miracle. We get stuck on what we can see in the natural. Now we get stuck on the spiritual. As Keith said, Dale felt it was miraculous based on everything that happened. So,
yes, see, you know, I looked at that and kind of my thought was, well, We didn't bring about it there, so then it's in God's hands after that anyway.
It is.
It is, right?
It is.
That's why I just, God's going to be with them one way or another.
Amen, yes.
You know.
It is a miracle.
He was.
It is a miracle. It is a miracle. It is grace, and praise God and glory to God. But God is working with broken tools, all right? He doesn't have the right ingredients, and we are the broken tools. We are the bad ingredients. God is still doing what he wants to do. God's will is impossible to break. God's will is being done. However, he's getting his will done perfectly done, but his tools are broke. Okay, he doesn't have all the ingredients with his eyes. Our faith is, and he's bypassing that. You know what I mean? He's winking at it. He's ignoring it. But the Bible says pray like with plan A. But what we're doing is like we're playing plan A, but you know, that doesn't work plan B. You know what I mean? And we need to not be broken. You know, we need to have an unbroken faith. We need to provide God all the ingredients that he wants us to have to do his work. You know, to have 100% faith. You know. Now, is God doing miracles with bad ingredients, with broken tools? Yes. Is that how Jesus did it? Is that how God wants us to do it? I don't think so.
I think God also is using our prayers when we pray to do a work in us, to perfect us.
Exactly, just like what Ken brought up.
Yeah.
He's exactly right. It's like, no, we're doing this, but God wants us to do this. Yes. We've been failing. But God is full of mercy. He's bypassing all that, and he's still answering our prayers. He's still giving us the desires of our heart. But he's also showing us, ladies and gentlemen, you guys need some work.
You need to grow.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes our words that we speak actually don't represent what's in our hearts because we don't know the right words.
We know nothing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. We got some faith. You know what we lack? More faith. We need the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. How? By the Word of God. Wherever we're at now is a stepping stone into the thing that God has for us.
We are needed.
And as much as I have seen, I have yet to purposely, intentionally lay hands on somebody and pray for them to be healed and saw me healed. I've never seen it. But yet I have seen a lot of miracles unexpectedly. And it's like I asked the Lord, why? I have prayed for people and not seen anything, and when I don't expect it, you heal.
You know, something that Mom used to say when I was little, just over the years, remember I would say, you know, she would embarrass me in the middle of Kmart. She would say, well, if they tell me their problem, they're asking for prayer. They just don't know. And then all of a sudden, we were praying in tongues for somebody in the middle of aisle 13 at Kmart.
And all they were saying was my wires.
Right. But, you know, but she used to tell me, she said, you know, when people pray and we're in church, and I heard so many times that it became my thought also, but she would tell me, everybody gathers, let's pray for Charlie's back. And she says, it's so easy. You're all gathered and you're praying for Charlie's back. And all of a sudden, you know, we pray for, you know, 1 to 2 minutes about Charlie's back. And while you're praying, you're thinking, did I lift my keys in my car? Okay, oh, yeah, heal Charlie's back. Oh, my rose is going to burn, but heal Charlie's back. So your mind starts to wander and you're, you know, now all of a sudden Charlie's crippled over and his back is hanging. We are praying. We want Charlie to stand up and, you know, and we're hoping that our prayer is going to work. And my mom would say, but you know, your mind starts to wander. Her mind would start to wander. All of a sudden, you're like, you know, did Susan pay for me all this money?
you know, and you're praying, you're really praying you with your faith. But my mom would say, but you know, if we were praying for crippled Charlie's back, and all of a sudden he stood up, how many people that were praying would go, ooh, ah! And it was like, she would say, if they had that reaction, what was the faith level that they were praying with from the beginning? You shouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? So that kind of, I got spoiled with, that's how she prayed. She prayed, and if it didn't happen, well, lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Maybe not the second, maybe tomorrow, maybe. But my mom prayed, expecting every time, even when I would be like, this is probably not going to happen, Mom. It's probably not going to happen. That's just how she prayed. Like I said, she was naive to the devil. I want that same thing. I want to pray for Charlie's crippled back and not, hopefully the brace will help him and hopefully the, you know, I want to pray expecting that Charlie's going to stand up. And so that when those things happen, I don't want to be shocked. I just want to be thankful, you know what I mean, for that faith level. I'm praying expecting. But it doesn't always. I mean, it's God's plan.
Let me just say that my back feels really great.
And I'm a
prayer. You're standing up.
From my perspective, if I was to be the oldest one here, I am extremely happy with where we're at, with a great expectancy of what's coming. You can only be where you're at at the time that you're at there, at that point. And faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. At some point, we are going to see something that we're not, that right now we're, if we look back at it, at us, you know, look back at this hour, and we say, well, that's where we were. That's who we were.
We were babies.
Yeah, that's who we were. But it's coming. And I would have never expected to see what I see now, 30 years ago. What I was looking at then wasn't even in the same ballgame. Wasn't even the same thing. And,
you know, in a similar token of, you know, what we were talking about, you know, because, you know, we go to the doctor or whatever, and I'm guilty of it, all right? Luke, you know, the beloved physician. She said, okay, well, Luke was a physician, so, but, you know. So, physician, so what? Physician, that's your, as a body. You know what I mean? It's a body expert, that's what a physician is. And I can't imagine Luke, the physician, giving you drugs with side effects that are as long as the Old Testament. You know what I mean? Mm. I can't imagine a physician from God telling you, you want to be better? Take this, but it's going to kill half of your body. You know what I mean? A physician will say, hey, your stomach hurts? Yes, okay. Well, stop eating mud. How about that? Instead of keep eating mud, and this pill is going to make the mud dissolve, and so you'll be able to eliminate it from your body. That is not a physician from God. A physician from God will tell you, you are not doing the right thing with your body. Stop, and this is the right thing to do with your body. But drugs, a physician from God will not give you drugs. Or anything that will have a bad effect to your body. All right? I mean, and I'm again, for the 20th time, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, I'm pointing fingers at me. God will not want us to take care of ourselves. You know, He's not going to heal half of our problems by giving us another problem. And that is what today's physicians are. Giving us drugs, you know, to not have a pain because we're not taking care of ourselves. And am I taking care of myself? No. Okay. Am I doing what I don't need not to do? No, I'm not. But But at least I'm understanding, you know. I cannot, it's like I know what to do, I'm not doing it, you know. I've been working with James a little bit, and I'm telling James how to do things right? This is how you do it, whatever. And the other day he said, you're not doing it the way you told me. I'm like, the Pharisees, just do what they say, don't do what they do.
I'd like to add a little more to what we've been discussing. There is a scriptural basis for what Ken was raising here earlier. I'm thinking of the time, I forget the specifics, but there was someone who, in the Old Testament, who they were instructed to whack something, you know, and it was going to extend their lifespan. Well, he whacked about 5 times. And the prophet said, you know, if you'd only whacked 10 or 15 times, your life would have gone on a whole lot longer than it is now. Now you blew it here. You know, that's basically what the message was. And there is, you know, there is spiritual truth to that. You know, expect big. If you don't expect big, there's spiritual truth to that. I guess for myself, though, before you say, cancel the appointment with the surgeon, oh, we go through that here, I want to hear pretty darn directly from the Lord. Tell the man to cancel the appointment, you know? I want to hear that directly. When it's, you know, you feel the Spirit of the Lord there, but, yeah, let's have the Lord be big in this thing, however it is that the Lord is going to be big.
See, in all of it, never did it enter my mind to suggest that he didn't go.
And I'm exaggerating.
The whole point was just be right here and pray here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and by exaggeration, you know,
that's something we would have probably done in the past and said, oh, wait, I'm really feeling faith. Dale, you need to just stay here. Don't go there until you're healed. It wasn't anything in that context.
Sure.
It was because what I was kind of going on was, at first I didn't know if I wanted to believe Keith's dream. But then I felt that it had some substance. Why, you know, and why would you have that? And why would you have Ben with the same dream saying something about healing? You know,
sure. You know, I myself would have proceeded exactly like Dale would have proceeded. You know what I mean? Because that's where my faith is. That is not good.
Yeah.
But you know, on the other hand, it's like I want to hear from God. You know, we're praying, so, but unless we hear from God, you know, cancel the appointment, we're not going to cancel it. However, God did say, He said, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He did say that. So that, in a way, it is saying cancel the appointment. But again, we are broken. We are goofy. You know what I mean?
What is recovery? Is it a healing or is it to get better from the surgery too?
Well, the scripture is not talking about surgery or anything like that. Or the scripture is saying they answer the sick and they will recover. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about our God.
We probably made a pretty good point here earlier, though, when there were tools that Jesus used, the mud and so forth, or, you know. Now, it's a little different.
If there's a blind person, I'm not going to put mud in them and wait for the mud to do a work. You know what I mean? It's not like that. He just used mud. You know what I mean? The Bible, God's Word, Jesus, you know, when He says how we have to believe and do things, He's not saying He's going to take care of ourselves. God is going to do it all. God is going to do 100% of the work. And I understand where we're at. I understand where I'm at. You know what I mean? I'm probably more running to the doctor about right now. But no, see, the mud is not what's opening the eyes. You know what I mean?
But that's where people get caught in all of the extra.
But it's not the money. Why did he use money? I don't know. You know. Plus, you know, Jesus took actually like dirt, like this pit on there. So it was, it wasn't regular money. It was that bit of, you know, glory. You know what I mean? So we don't have that kind of mind.
But God's word is very adamant about what we should do and eat and think and be and live and be happy and don't be anxious and don't be fearful and don't be, you know, don't eat crap. I mean, it's very whatever, but we're imperfect.
I am.
You know what I mean? So God, it's not God's word that's the flaw. So if we get, you know, if somebody says, you know, I want to pray for you and me for the faith to bless. But if we get upset about that inside, that's not the God in us that's upset. That's a spirit that is flawed. And we are all flawed.
I have anxiety, and I take CBD oil for it. I should be relying on God, but I'm not where God wants me to be exactly. I'm still taking supplement. You know, however, I know that God doesn't want me to rely on a secondary thing. You know what I mean? I know that.
That's what I mean. We're all flawed. But God's word is flawed. God's word says all of this, this is what we should be doing. It's when we're not, we're the flaw. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But it does, it raises a little bit of, I think,
in later on. Here, I'll give you something to prepare for communion for.
Yeah. Fully right.
Is anybody here now from all this discussion been offended?
Yeah.
No.
You know, or feel like.
You know, this morning I had the same thing. I was having some thoughts about some situations in my own life this morning, and I was thinking, you know, when you know Susan brought communion, and I'm thinking, you know, you need to forgive before you partake. Forgive one another. You know, and I thought, am I okay in my spirit before everyone this morning? And I almost thought, maybe I shouldn't take communion, because this morning I don't know that my spirit is okay.
Yeah.
So I did have that quickening. Do you know what I mean? So that was a good question you just brought up. I thought, I might feel ashamed, guilty taking communion, because I wasn't settled in my spirit this morning about some incident. You know what I mean? So that's a really good point.
You know,
And God expects us to be, so if that rattles something in our spirit, we need to check that against God's word. God's word says this. So if that is something that is not feeling so good or something, that's something in our flawed human spirit, because God's word is perfect. God's word is what it is. So if it bothers us, that's
I think part of the thing that people get hung up on, and part of what the Bible is saying, though, is what is recover? Because we wrestle not in flesh and blood. So grandma, who 100% relied on God and trusted in God, had cancer through her body, ripping apart her body. But she didn't ask for morphine. I'm fine. She prayed, thank you, Jesus. And I'm thinking, what are you thanking Jesus for? Cancer's ripping your body apart, but not her spirit. Not her grandma's recovery was with her soul. She was at peace. That was her recovery. So just because God didn't heal Dale's leg, that's a physical. We get so caught up in the physical. But where your relationship is with God and trusting in God is completely different. I laughed at Nikki because she was telling me, I'm going to go pray for Grandpa or with Grandpa and see when I'm going to labor. And I've been praying that I'm going to have the baby. And it's not working when you're doing it wrong. You pray for God's will, and God's will may be for cancer to rip your body apart.
Right, well, ultimately, like I said, Dale Blake, blah, 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 he ain't going to take that with him. But his spirit, God is doing something in his spirit. So past whatever happened or didn't happen, Dale has a lot of healing. Just to make him feel like he's even worthy for heaven, he had a lot of healing that needed to be done. You know what I mean? And that
Grandpa and I talked about, Grandma used to tell me, resist it. You know, Angel and me would be fighting. Just resist it. Resist the devil. Okay, how do I sit here and resist? I'm poking you in the shoulder. Just resist it. Resist it and it'll change. No. let me slap it and it will flee. But the devil cannot hurt your relationship with God if your relationship with God is perfect. What he can do is rip your body apart and hurt you physically. I think that the devil can harm your body as much as God can heal your body. So if that's testing you, what grandma was resisting cancer, and she said, I don't have any pain. We all know she had moments of pain. But I said, no, I'm fine. And she was resisting it, and the devil of cancer, the demon spirit, was going through her whole body, and she was resisting that poke in the shoulder nonstop.
No, it's been appointed for a man to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if we are going to pray for everybody to be healed and never die, we would have not grown by now. So we need to die.
But the recovery or the healing may be more of an emotional, spiritual healing than what we're expecting is. Charlie's back to go straight, but that isn't the healing that he needed, or, you know, praying for your leg when your leg was hurting, that wasn't necessarily what you were needing. You need to
take me back to Jean's testimony. Her testimony is one of the greatest testimonies I've heard in my entire life. She doesn't want to be away from God, and if it takes having to be blind, I mean, that impacted me. Because who wishes to be blind? Not me. I'd rather be completely crippled neck down than be blind. For real.
Sure.
You know, sure. But God wants our whatever. But it does, it doesn't feel good to think, every single Christian thinks that their full faith is in God. Just ask them. They think so. But it's not in anybody, because otherwise we'd be all walking around like shining glowing angels.
No, if Jesus came for 1 minute and gave us any speech of any kind, every one of us would be offended. So our being offended is not of the devil. Alright, after being offended, Jesus offended, you know what I mean? Now, if we're not offended, we will be saying, you know, I have no sin. And we will be lying to ourselves. You know what I mean?
Let me say one more thing. And that is that maybe Ken is right. Maybe we missed out on an opportunity to say, God, heal Dale. And forget about the physician's hands, you know. And it would have been that could be.
But God bypassed our faith.
Mm-hmm.
He will still do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I still think his soul is more important than his leg.
Well, it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So God has a relationship with God. He needed a 4-hour surgery of sleeping for God to do some work on his heart. That's the healing that I wanted to have. I don't care about his physical body, because that's going to stay here and grow.
Because I don't want to be listening to the book of Revelation at 2 o'clock in the morning. What I have over the end of the book of Jude, and I heard something maybe yesterday morning, and the third verse from the end of the book of Jude, and here's what it says: and with others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Are you understanding what I'm reading here? I saw my mother in a dream that scared me, and one of the reasons that brought me back here. Sitting against a rotten old tree that was on the edge of hell. And the wind was blowing, and the tree was going back and forth, and my mother was sitting there like this, and everybody loved their mother. And I said, Lord, send somebody to heal her, or to pray for her, for her salvation. Here it says, save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire. What is a priority? The spiritual thing that I am seeing in Dale is so much more important to me than even any of these things. Yes, we need to see the miracles as a sign and wonder, but you know what? Those have lost a position in me. You know what the Bible says? And these signs shall follow
them that believe. They're not going to lead them, they're going to follow them. They'll be behind them. And when God raises up the people, you are going to see things, and if you stick with it, stick with God's word, you're going to see things in the future that is going to astound you. Things you've never seen. You know, things I have never seen, ear has never heard. You're going to see them here. Because God is going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Which means what? Faith is going to come. Faith is going to come. It's righteousness is, goes from faith to faith. We develop, we change, we get stronger in faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if you hear it more and more and more, is your faith going to increase?
Yes.
Amen.
Of course it's going to. So the thing we that I'm not really that concerned at this point about, I wish God would have healed Dale that supernaturally right in front of us. But you know what? God did it in such an awesome way that it has had an indelible impact on Dale. And you know what else? Let me tell you something else. It has also had an awesome impact on some doctors. And it has, it said, we can't even explain it. This happened so much better and whatever than we would have ever expected.
And what exactly happened to get down? What exactly happened to him?
He was in that accident in 76.
Yeah.
And his knee was a... Was well, I don't know. We had a picture of it on from the X-ray. His knee was a mangled mess, and so he had been scared for 40 years by the doctors who had told him, "We can't do anything with it. Can't do anything with it. If we do, we probably will die." So he's been living with that fear. And but you know, and here's what happened. That's from my perspective. I don't know what could have happened, but I tell you what did happen. Dale got down there, and a peace came upon him. When we prayed for him or whatever else happened, he got peaceful. And Brian was telling me that, you know, he got at peace, which was major. You don't want to go into an operation like that scared out of your wits. A peace came on him. You know what the Bible calls that? The peace that passes all understanding. And so whatever could have been or would have been or should have been or whatever else.
And that kind of peace can only come from God.
It was an awesome and wonderful experience. I am so happy. I'm his dad.
You know, God definitely is doing and did and will do an amazing thing through all this.
Yes.
But we should not justify our prayers and our faith into how God is doing things today. Because it's still not how God wants us to approach it. Is he doing an amazing, glorious thing? Yes. However, not because he is doing a great thing in this way, it means that it's how he wants us to do it in the future. Or how he's directing us to do it. Did he do it? Yes. Is this how, but still, he wants us to do what Ken said to do. You know what I mean? So we should not justify that God can do great things through our not so great how God wants us to do it. You know, we need to approach things how God wants us to do it. Okay, I'm repeating myself, but you know, anyway.
But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever the Bible says is, and that's where people get a little bit, it's like, well, in Bible times, well, back in Jesus, and he healed the sick. And back when, yeah, you got it. I mean, isn't Jesus next to you? You know, and I just, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that takes the greatest faith. It's like, well, he did heal, but, and he does heal, but my situation is very elite. My, you know what I mean? It's like, he does, but I'm, no, what? Special? Yeah, you're special. But.
Just like all the rest of us.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We are all special. You know, and so God is big enough then, and he's big enough now. And what excuse, if you actually saw Jesus sitting in front of you, what, it's like, well, I believe the word of God, but remember, I'm different, you know, I believe the word of God, but remember, our situation is a little bit, remember.
Jesus never sent anyone to anybody. Okay? When somebody came to Jesus, Jesus said, oh, I know this guy. He took care of him himself. Alright? So, that's it.
That's what I'm saying. Jesus came to you right now and sat in front of you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give you a list of all the things that might work or are good. He's going to heal you. So take that same faith that he's with you. However, it doesn't feel good to hear that. It gets a little bit in your spirit because you're human. And our brain can't even imagine or contain how amazing that God is and that Jesus can heal instantly. Because like my mom would say, if you prayed for somebody and it instantly happened, people go, oh my God! So what level of faith were you actually praying with from the beginning? But it does. It does, you know, no children like instruction from their parents or their father. Even if they know, you know, if Pablo gives Eli and Dominic, you know, you need to be home at 10 o'clock. It's healthier for you. You need to eat bean sprouts. You know, they're like, well, I know that. You know, they know better. What's a little bit of chips? You know what I mean? So the Word of God is perfect. It has exactly how you need to live, breathe, eat. There isn't any extra. You don't need the Word of God plus 8 books about the Word of God. It's just the Word of God. So if the Word of God, if somebody speaks the Word of God, straight Word of God, and it doesn't feel settled in your spirit, that's your spirit. That's your spirit, because the Word of God is pure, and the Word of God says this. So if it doesn't feel so good, it's a different quickening. You know what I mean? Because the Word of God is what it is. So,
do you think the closer you are with God, the harder the devil can attack you than physically, though, at the same time? You're, like Grandma, her soul was peace. She was 100%, all she did was listen to the Bible. She was peaceful. Her physical was not. That's where the devil could attack her.
Because
the Bible doesn't say pray and what you ask, I'm going to do. Because I'm sure Grandma prayed, get this cancer out of my body.
No.
Get this out of my body. Heal my body. Heal my body.
Well, God allows us to pray. It's how we deal with it.
Okay.
Because it's God's will.
Okay.
Right. And it's how, so I think how you deal with it is, if someone has a horrible headache and missing a leg, and they're, my life sucks, and my head hurts, and my leg is missing, and I'm going to die, then that's how your life goes forward. But it's, praise the Lord, and what can I do for you? Have glory and hallelujah. My leg is missing, but I have another one, and God gave me breath. That is more faith and what God wants out of that person.
Like I said, it is appointed for someone, for everybody to die. Now, Grandma never knew she was sick. She never knew she was sick. She was under the weather. And she had 100% joy in her heart until her last breath.
Right.
That's how God took care of her.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm saying, well, my only thing I'm saying is we look at it for, you're going to heal this physical. But that wasn't her soul, joy, peace. She was 100% faithful, and it didn't matter that she was sick. That's my point is we are praying for Dale's leg to be healed, but maybe rather than praying heal his leg, we need to pray heal his soul.
No,
but joy, give him peace.
But see, so you said that for her, but that doesn't mean that the next person doesn't get healed.
But she was at that point that God wanted her to be.
Okay, the thing is that we have instruction from the Bible. Okay, the soul or the leg or the illness. The thing is that the Bible says, this is how you do it, and we are doing this. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying where the soul or whatever.
Right.
The long story short, God is giving us instructions, and we are bypassing His instructions. However, He's full of mercy, so He's bypassing our understanding.
My only point is Grandma did it. Grandma was there. Grandma didn't go seek other opinions or know she was dead right. That doesn't mean she got better either.
No, she didn't.
But she was faithful. She didn't seek
help,
and that didn't mean that God healed her. That's okay, but
God had her exactly where she wanted, and
then
we asked her, and we took a video of it. Joanne, do you want to go to the doctor? She said no.
Right.
She said I can. And she said, basically, what for?
So the Bible I keep listening and putting into the part where it talks about a spiritual body and a natural body, a spiritual body and a natural body. Grandma, and on the Bible, your natural body is supposed to decay. Your spiritual body should keep growing. And so we need to feed our spiritual body. Our natural body can have aches and pains. If we're focusing on that, that's where the focus is. If we focus on the spiritual, our natural might get better. It might get better. It's got plans, but we need to continue building the spiritual. And I think that's what Grandma for focusing on the spiritual. Other people, I hope and I aim to focus on my spiritual. The natural will come from it. I just trust God.
Well, and that's my only point is I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong in any way. What I'm saying is when we're praying, heal my physical body. This, and just because you trust God doesn't mean we're all going to walk around perfect skin with a six pack and a healed body, marathon runner. Whatever. That's not faith either. Trusting in God's plan is trusting His plan. Having faith in God, following His path, that doesn't mean the physical is going to be perfect and all your bills are going to be paid and all your stuff. That's not what God says. Get trusting in God.
No, I know, I understand. Yes, right. Our body is supposed to decay, but if we have a God, we go for God if we want to heal it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm just talking.
Yeah.
And God might say, you know what? We're going to have a phone and touch forever.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it's either God or man. I'm just saying, yes, you can have aches and pain and your body's going to decay and get old and wrinkly and whatever. But if you want to fix it, the fixer is God. You know, if you're gonna address your body, address it to God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This discussion, it's good. We may have said what there is to say about it. We do have communion to go. Okay. Well, maybe after communion.
Well,
it's
coming before.
I think Ken raised a good point. If it has raised some issues, then, have God examine us. But communion be good, though.
Yeah.
Gee, I've just a little stuck my neck out here. Maybe I'm supposed to be in this. I got the floor up. Okay. Well, as long as I've got the floor, Eli and Dominic, would you be willing to? Okay. Yeah, that'd be good.
They're a little full because they were hard to pour. It's one, but it's hard to see. Yeah. But it's grape juice, but it's so hard to see. So you managed to drink a little. It's grape. It's 100% grape, but it's white.
Way better. Yes.
Yeah, you might have to drink a little. They're pretty full.
I'm grateful. Yeah.
By the way, there's no leaks still.
Oh,
I looked this morning.
Oh,
Mark stopped me and is willing to bring a scaffolding in when we're going to do the other work.
Oh,
he's got to do a little more. He's got to fuck up one in the southern area. Yeah.
Oh, other work. Talking about repairs, replacing the ceiling tile.
Ceiling tile, or the money is for insulation.
Oh, sure. No.
We need to have somebody, or I would like one other person if I do it, carry them shingles down into the room downstairs.
That's, yeah. I'll help with that. I actually should have taken care of that. I'm sorry.
We never came back.
We should try the recorder.
Oh, yeah.
What we're here for.